welcome to episode 2 of the Action for Happiness podcast series. I'm your host, Guy, and have been podcasting for over 3 years on a variety of subjects, covering the big questions. And the most significant question for me is, what is true happiness and how can we achieve it? Throughout this series, along with my co-host, Anne, we'll be speaking with thought leaders on this subject, journalists, authors, scientists, to help guide us on this journey. The science on this is constantly evolving, and the research is forever coming up with new ideas and concepts on happiness. Check out the Action for Happiness website, actionforhappiness.org, for more details about the great work they're doing. Find out about the events they're hosting, notably the big one in September, where His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, will be speaking at the event. He'll be promoting his new book there, where he does acknowledge Action for Happiness for the great work that they're doing. You can also visit their donation page and help to support this amazing charity, where our co-founder, Lord Richard Layard, is pioneering happiness as a metric to be considered when calculating the wealth of a country. Our guest today is Christophe Grigory, the coordinator for several very fascinating and important websites, the most significant being the Karuna Shejen website, a charity based in Nepal, India and Tibet, and whose resources have been pushed to the limit following April's terrible earthquakes in Nepal. That earthquake killed just under 9,000 people, injured more than 23,000. So this great charity was founded by Mathieu Ricard, whose personal website was also run by Christophe. So Mathieu, known as the happiest man on earth and a lifelong monk, he recently spoke at an Action for Happiness event, which Anne and I attended. We've been attending all the events this year, and this was certainly one of the year's highlights. And between the pair of us, we've read his books about 5 times, which is why we reached out to Christophe to find out a bit more. So Christophe, thank you very much for joining.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your interview.
So Christophe, can you tell our listeners firstly a bit about Karuna Shejen and some of the work that they're doing?
Yes. Well, Karuna Shejen was founded in 2000 by Mathieu Ricard and another Tibetan master. Well, the purpose of this organization is to support and to help marginalized people in Nepal, India, and Tibet. So we are acting in different fields like education, social work, health mainly, and also preservation of traditional culture. So, of course, after the earthquake, as you mentioned just before, it was a difficult period for us because even if the people in Nepal was more or less aware of an earthquake, a very big one, which would happen soon, it was a shock. But I mean, we've been there for a long time, so we've been trained people and monks also of the monastery of Mathieu Ricard to support people in that case of urgency. So we are doing a lot of different things, especially after the earthquake, of course, helping the victims of the earthquake in Kathmandu, but we're also acting in very remote villages in the mountains, which have no easy access, let's say. So we're pretty much doing a lot of work in the whole country.
Yeah, so can you explain a bit about your role?
Well, I'm more in the coordination of different things, different tasks. We have actually different branches throughout the world. We have a branch in the US. We have one in Hong Kong. We have one representative in London also. We have someone in Belgium. Very much I have to make some coordination between the different branches because I speak English, I speak Spanish also. So we are doing, different works of also organization, translation. I'm also working in Mathieu's agenda because he's traveling a lot throughout the world all the time. We are working in the organization of his lectures and conferences, also on the website, and well, in the communication with different people working with us.
Yeah, Matteo was, he actually translated for the Dalai Lama for a very long time, about 9 years, I believe.
Yeah. He's been doing that because he's fluent in Tibetan and English also, so he can do that pretty easily. He will be in England, in Cambridge soon, I think, also.
Okay, well, you actually had a very fascinating life when we last spoke. You mentioned following some depression and a heartbreak. Perhaps you could tell us a bit about your journey from that period up to today.
It was when I was around 30 years old, and after a difficult break in my love life, I decided that I had to travel to see different things and to see other parts of the world, and also to try to meet people who have another way of thinking, another way of seeing the world around them. So I started to travel in Morocco, and then I went to India, and then South America. And each time I tried to work in those countries, and to more specifically to work in order to try to help people, to support people who were marginalized or who had problems. So I've been traveling a lot during around 10 years, more or less.
Yes, so how did you first meet Matteo?
Well, I met Matteo thanks to a close friend of mine who, she's a Buddhist, and she was working with him also as a volunteer. And so we were talking more and more about Buddhism, about what Matteo was doing with his organization. So I was pretty much interested. And so when they were looking for a coordinator, they just asked me, and it was okay. For me, it was a good opportunity because the work is very interesting, and also I can work in harmony with my principles, let's say, with my values. So it's quite important for me.
So were you a Buddhist prior to meeting Matteo?
No, I'm not a Buddhist, actually. Well, I like very much some principles and values of Buddhism, and also some other principles of other Eastern spiritualities. But I don't consider myself as a Buddhist, but let's say that I'm pretty much interested in spirituality.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons why mindfulness, you know, the subject that we've been talking about a lot on the podcast, is so successful nowadays is because it's completely secular. There is no religious connotation or association to it, which perhaps before would stop people, or, you know, say, oh, no, that's Buddhism, or that's that religion, you know, and not try and find out more.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is interesting in meditation and mindfulness, and because, as you say, I mean, anyone can practice it, and it's not very difficult. It's just, I like to say, it's a work on ourselves. I mean, it's quite interesting, as you say. Yeah, it can be easily practiced by everyone.
I was wondering, actually, a more personal question. Matthew Ricard, the man, I know sort of the media has hyped him up as the happiest man in the world and things like that. And, you know, we've seen him on stage, we've seen him on the internet. And I wonder what it's like to actually know him personally and what it's like to be around him.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because he usually doesn't like to be called such a happiest man in the world.
No, and we don't stop using it. People don't stop using it every time they introduce him. But
yeah, that's true. All the newspapers, you can see that, and all the magazines, they say the happiest man in the world. But
yeah.
No, I guess he doesn't really like that because I guess it doesn't make much sense He's been working a lot on altruism, and he says that it's difficult to be happy if you know that someone is suffering in the world. So so that's why I guess he doesn't like much that say. But personally, well, yes, he's kind of fascinating man in the sense that how can I say that he's not in judgment. In the sense that he seems to be above all that, and he doesn't judge people. So so it's quite interesting to talk with him because you feel more free, you know, to talk with such a man because you know he's not going to judge you and he's very sweet. I mean, he's a very sweet man.
How often are you in contact with him, and how often do you get to meet him?
To meet him is not easy. It's like to meet a planet, you know, because even he's traveling all the time. So, and he's also very often in his retreat. But it depends on the work we have. But I mean, by email, I'm in touch with him almost every week, and sometimes by on the phone or by Skype. And I have the chance to see him maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 times in the year.
I was going to make a comment about how the non-judgmental sort of aspect of his personality. I think that's quite an inspiration. Because if you feel free to be yourself around someone and not have that sort of worry, if you've got that reassurance that they'll take you for who you are, just like good friends, you know, when you have a good friend that you feel like
exactly
say what you want, and it's an inspirational, very inspirational attribute. And also the dedication. I think there was actually a documentary which was in French called, in the title I think it's something to do with the passion of Matthew. Maybe the point I'm making, his dedication and his passion. So not only him as a person, which is nice to see that you can sort of get a sense for that, can't you? When you see him on stage, when you see him speak, and what he's dedicated his life to, you know, altruism So I just wanted to make that comment about how inspirational it is.
Of course, in that sense, he's not a usual monk in the sense that he decided to dedicate his life to altruism and humanitarian work. So. That what makes him such a special person, a special monk, actually.
So this is a guy that grew up on the highest side of society in France, and then, you know, decides to go to Asia, becomes a monk, and then gets offered the opportunity to write a book with his father.
Yeah.
And it does amazingly well, become one of the best sellers, and then all of a sudden he had lots of money. And then that money, he's put 100% to charity and to helping other people, which speaks to your point, or to the word that you mentioned, Christoph, altruism. Now, I highlighted this for this conversation because it's a word that Mathieu uses a lot. I think, and you mentioned it a couple of times, but altruism or selflessness is the principle or practice of concern for the welfare of others. It's a message that comes across very strongly in the video, the YouTube videos that you're speaking of, and the Action for Happiness event where we saw him speak.
It's a very deep message that comes from Buddhism, of course, but I think he's gifted enough to apply to the present society without any religious specificity, in the sense that, as I said before, his principles is to say that you can't be really happy if you know that people around you And not only people, actually, I would say beings also are suffering, because he's also striving a lot for the well-being of animals, actually.
Yes.
And his last book in French is about altruism towards animals, especially in that society, you know, the present society where animals are slaughtered with very much cruelty just for our industrial system.
And that comes across in a lot of the photos that he takes, because he's actually a veteran in photography, and that's one of his passions. And if you go online, you see a whole host of pictures that he's taken, and wildlife does feature a lot in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. He's also a photographer, and he takes up a lot of photographies of animals and landscapes, yeah, because he's traveling a lot. So of course there are a lot of landscapes and animals from Asia, but also from South America, for example. Yeah.
So what's it actually like to meet him? You mentioned on our call that about four or five times a year you get to meet with him.
Well, he's very humble. That's what also very pleasant, because of course now he's considered as someone with a lot of fame, and he's renowned throughout the world. And but you know, when you meet him, he's just acting with you like with any other people, and that's also what is very pleasant for us and very interesting. So he's very humble, and he just talks to you like, I mean, normally, with no absolutely. No snobism or arrogance or, I mean, those kinds of characteristics that you, unfortunately, that you find in people who think they are important, if you see what I mean.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So fame getting to the head, or success getting to the head, but he's obviously stayed grounded. And I suppose that's in his deep, in his religious beliefs and his sort of the spiritual side, that he realizes that, you know, that whatever position, however famous you become, you know, he stayed grounded in who
very
he is.
Humble.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Humility is very important, I think, for him, because it's one of the basis of Buddhism, because you're supposed to work against your ego. So I think he's been doing that the whole. His whole life, so yeah, of course you can feel that when you talk to him.
Yeah,
I've often asked people what they believe happiness is, and it's funny how money is often a word that's thrown in there.
Mm.
And the fact that he's someone that gives his wealth away, but still lives a life that, you know, reading his book, it's something to aspire to. Mm-hmm. And my daily commitment to practice to meditate, you know, for the health of my mind, was reinforced, you know, by 10 times reading his book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will put links underneath the podcast episode to his book on happiness, and also his book on altruism, which he signed for us.
Yeah,
we were very honored to go on stage with him and get him to sign our book. I gave him a little card with a bookmark, and when I gave it to him, he took it and he put it on his forehead in some kind of gesture. I'm not too sure what it represented, but it was a very nice moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to him a little bit in French as well, and it was a good memory.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. His sort of work on, you know, well-being, charity and stuff also extends to taking care of the environment as well, doesn't it? It's not just sort of taking care of each other, taking care of those who are impoverished and less fortunate, or the well-being of animals, but also the future of our planet, he touched upon as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He mentioned that a lot of time in on his blog or in his books also, of course, because, you know, the environment is the future of our planet. So, of course, if we don't respect it, it's like not respecting your fellow beings or your companions on the earth. So, of course, it's very important for him, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So are there any projects planned for Mathieu or Karuna Shejen this year?
Well, we are in a kind of transition period in the sense that the situation in Nepal is going to force us to evolve a little bit, and probably we will hire more people to work with us on our local team there. And so the priority is going to be put on that, on the new actions in Nepal which are necessary. Mm-hmm. To support the people and to try to help all those victims of this terrible earthquake.
And Matthew lives in Nepal.
Right. Well, he has his monastery there. He's staying in a monastery a few months each year. He's very often there. Since a few years, he's also more often in France because his mother is quite old, and he tries to stay with her as much as he can. So he is either he's in southwest of France with his mother, or in Nepal in his monastery.
When you hear the expression, be the change that you want to see in the world, it's sometimes just almost like one of those impossible questions, like, well, I want to make $1 billion, $1 trillion. You know, it's almost as ridiculous as that. But if you take time to think about it and to meditate and just take those small steps, and you look at someone like Mathieu, you know, whether it be animal welfare or helping, you know, the earthquake victims, or spreading, you know, mindfulness and meditation through his books and through his talks. Yeah. I mean, that is someone that is being the change that they want to see.
Really embodying what he speaks of, what we aspire to, sort of when we look at trying to be a better person, trying to look at what we need to fix in the world. He looks at, you know, the mistreatment of animals. He looks at sort of when we talk about all the moral things that we know perhaps is not right, but maybe that's not sort of the top of our agenda. We're too busy. A lot of us maybe know that we need to do more work mm-hmm. for charity or something, but then that sort of is in our minds and then it goes away, and then we're focusing on the thing. But he really embodies, you know, with spreading, I mean, back to the idea of happiness, that in his talk, one of the things I found interesting, that the percentage of doctors that in the US, I think it was 60%, have a breakdown within 5 years or something along those lines. And the importance of taking care of ourselves before we can help others. We can't then be sort of too overwhelmed by the pain and suffering around us, because that's not going to be any good to anyone if we've then, you know, of course there's a lot of work to be done. There's unfinished business until we can say that we're satisfied to then just, you know, the world is smooth and you know. So it's an ongoing battle, but that we can't just lose hope. And we can't simply let it all become too much where we're useless, you know. So it starts from, in a sense, within first. So he's helping people from a personal perspective with their own happiness and well-being. And then maybe we can join, if you like, his army to then go out there and do what we can as well.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree completely, Because I think you can't really help others if you're not well inside. I mean, if you're not happy, I mean, you know, most of the people, the nasty people are, in fact, they are unhappy, I think, deeply inside their own body and mind. And they, most of the time, they're not even aware of it. So that's why happiness is very important.
So what's the best way to find out a bit more about Mathieu and the charity?
Well, we have two websites. We have Karuna Sessions website and also Mathieu Ricard's website. So on Mathieu's website, you will read more reflections and topics developed by Mathieu himself. And on Karuna Sessions website, you can read more about our projects in Asia.
And that's Karuna, that's spelled KARUNA-SHECHEN.org, Karuna-Shegen.org.
Exactly, yeah.
Christophe, thank you very much for joining. We really enjoyed your insights about the charity and about Mathieu himself. Merci beaucoup.
Merci à toi. À bientôt.
Allez, bonsoir, au revoir.
Salut. Well, you done me in your bed, I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my best. This and nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm yours. Plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you'll find.